Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. A man that killed his whole family, then disappeared into the ether, never to be heard from again. Or was he? William Bradford Bishop Jr. ended up on the FBI's most wanted list. The question is he still out there? This is his story today on The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
William Bradford Bishop Jr. is a former United States Foreign Service officer who has been a fugitive from justice since allegedly killing his wife, mother, and three sons in 1976. On April 10, 2014, the FBI placed him on the list of its 10 most wanted fugitives. On June 27, 2018, Bishop, who would be 81, was removed from the list, making room, the FBI said, for a dangerous fugitive. However, he is still being actively pursued by the FBI. William Bradford Bishop Jr. was born August 1, 1936 in Pasadena, California, to LaBella and William Bradford Bishop Sr. He attended South Pasadena High School and received a Bachelor of Science degree in History from Yale University and a Master of Arts degree in International Studies from Middlebury College. Alternatively, Bishop has been reported to have a Bachelor's degree in American Studies from Yale and a Master's degree in Italian from Middlebury College. He also holds a master's degree in African Studies from UCLA. After graduating from Yale in 1959, Bishop married his high school sweetheart, Annette Weiss, with whom he had three sons. He joined the United States Army and spent 4 years working. Bishop learned to speak four foreign languages fluently: Italian, French, Serbo-Corinthian, and Spanish. After leaving the Army, Bishop joined the U.S. State Department and served in the Foreign Service in many postings overseas. This included posting in the Italian cities of Verona, Milan, and Florence, where he did postgraduate work at the University of Florence. From 1968 to 1972, he also served in Africa, including posts in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia and Gaborone, Botswana, from 1972 to 1974. Bishop's last posting, which began in 1974, was at State Department headquarters in Washington, D.C., as an assistant chief in the Division of Special Activities and Commercial Treaties. He was living in Bethesda, Maryland, with his wife and three sons, as well as his mother, LaBella. So this is, of course, The Dark Side of Wikipedia. A very interesting character here, and there's some new developments in this story that we'll talk about a little bit further in. Anyway, you like our show, we'd love you to help us stay on the air, become a Dark Sider, get access to our final chapters, advanced episodes, all that. Patreon.com/Dark Side of Wikipedia to do that, or on our website, DarkSideOfWiki.com. Click Become a Dark Sider. That's what helps keep this thing on the air. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you today. And Carol actually sent me this over the weekend, the link to the news story. And I just kind of got sucked into it.
Well, and it gets interesting. Like, and I didn't dive deeply into this story. It's where it ends up, yeah, which is pretty interesting. But, like, I lost track of how many degrees this guy has. Like, he's incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Like, he had multiple master's degrees and undergraduate degrees. Mm-hmm. And goes to Italy and studies there.
Can speak five languages. I mean, he's like, if you're not a moral person, or if there's something that's not quite right with you, that can become insanely dangerous You know, and obviously,
or you can work for the government, yeah, and it works out quite well.
Exactly. It can either be used one way or it can become used the other way. And I guess he at some point used it both ways for doing well. But at the same point, then it's like, you know how to evade anything and everything because you're that smart. And he's obviously done it for quite some time and is still, I guess, out there. Possibly. Unless he's dead, which we don't know.
Could be.
But at 81, I can understand why they maybe said, okay, you're not on. I was surprised he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list until that age. Not that I look at the FBI's most wanted list ever, but I always just kind of assume it's going to be, you know, younger.
Kind of rotate through.
Yeah.
It's like that guy gets replaced by that guy. He's worse.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I always think. Like, okay, that guy is way worse than number 8, so we're going to put him here, and he goes there, you know.
Debuting this week on the countdown from wherever the hell he's from is Bradford Bishop. He's a man that says, "Dear Casey, I killed my entire family, and now I'm really depressed, but I've changed my identity 32 times. I've learned 4 more languages. But Casey, what would make my day is if you could play Somewhere Out There." Because Casey, I know somewhere people are looking for me. Bradford, here's your long distance dedication.
Somewhere out there.
It was kind of weird because I was doing the female part and you were doing the male part. That was
one of the Neville, Aaron?
Aaron Neville. Aaron Neville. And because it was Aaron Neville and
Linda Ronstadt.
Yes. Okay. It was Linda Ronstadt. Yep.
Because he would be like, somewhere.
I can do pretty good Aaron Neville in karaoke. Anyway, let's continue on with this story because somehow we got there.
Very few people can sing like Linda Ronstadt. I was not going to go there.
On March 1st, 1976, after learning he would not receive a promotion he had sought, Bishop told his secretary he did not feel well and left his office in Foggy Bottom. Police believe he drove to his bank, where he withdrew several hundred dollars, then to Montgomery Mall, where he bought a sledgehammer and gas can. He also filled the gas can in the tank of his 1974 Chevrolet station wagon at an adjacent gas station. From there, he drove to a hardware store where he purchased a shovel and pitchfork. Bishop returned to his home in Bethesda between 7:30 and 8 p.m. Police believe his wife was likely killed first, then his mother, as she returned from walking the family dog. Finally, his 3 sons, aged 5, 10, and 14, were killed while they slept in the upstairs bedroom. Bishop allegedly drove the bodies 275 miles in the station wagon to a densely wooded swamp about 5 miles south of Columbia, North Carolina. On March 2nd, he dug a shallow hole where he piled the bodies and set them ablaze with gasoline. Found with the burned bodies were a gas can, a pitchfork, and a shovel with the label of OCHHDW, which was determined to be from Pooch's Hardware. Bishop is known to have purchased tennis shoes at a sporting goods store in Jacksonville, North Carolina, later that same day. According to witnesses, he had the family dog with him and was possibly accompanied by a woman described as dark-skinned. On March 10th, a neighbor of Bishop's contacted police after not seeing the family for some time. A detective found blood on Bishop's home front porch and on the floor and walls of the front hall and bedrooms. Dental records were used to confirm that the bodies found in North Carolina were of Bishop's family. On March 18th, Bishop's station wagon was found abandoned in an isolated campground in Elkmont, Tennessee, at the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, a few miles from the Appalachian Trail and about 400 miles from the site where Bishop's family was buried. The car contained dog biscuits, a bloody blanket, a shotgun, an axe, a shaving kit with Bishop's medication. The trunk spare tire, it was also full of blood. A witness believed the car had been there since anywhere between March 5th or the 7th. Police theorized that Bishop joined the flow of hikers on the Appalachian Trail and attempted to follow his scent with bloodhounds, but without success. The following day, a grand jury indicted Bishop on 5 counts of first-degree murder and other charges. So it gets dark pretty quick when you you burn your family alive in the swamp. And but what's the motive? What the hell?
Like, okay, so why is it that story isn't so well known?
Mm-hmm.
And then like a Jeffrey McDonald guy who I don't know, it's still debatable. Did he or didn't he kill his family? But
sure.
Like that one's had movies made about it, multiple documentaries. And then this guy does a horrific crime. And how am I not more familiar with it?
Maybe. I mean, it was quite a long time ago. I mean, this is not even like the, you know, 60s,
70s. But like
In
Cold Blood was too. And,
sure.
Well, maybe it's because I live in Kansas. But I mean,
yeah.
Everybody knows about that story. You know, it's a horrific crime. And he was on the top 10.
It is kind of surprising that nothing's ever been made of this like movie. I mean, I know there was like
there's got to be an unsolved mystery or something that we haven't seen yet.
I think he was on an episode or the story was, and I believe there was a doc made about it in about 2011. But that was about it. This was like never, as far as I'm aware, ever turned into like, you know, an In Cold Blood type thing where it's a book or a movie or anything like that. It's just,
like he just disappears.
And that maybe that's part of it, too, is because nobody's known where is he. Is there more? Is there going to be more to this story because he's never been found?
Which is why you want to get the word out.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's an interesting one. I think now that that's the news story of the relation that has come out, and we'll talk about that in just a bit. I wonder, you know, if this will get on more people's radars, all the amateur detectives out there that end up solving cases better than professionals half
right.
of the time. Just because it is such a bizarre story. And I don't know. I think maybe we'll see some more traction on this. Let's continue into the story and the psychology and the motives and stressors. Bishop's motives have never been fully explained. An article in the Washington Post reported that there was no evidence of infidelity or financial or job problems. Although Bishop had been passed over for a promotion, there was no work or history of work-related issues. His being passed over had been described as the first glitch in the storybook tale. It's been reported that Bishop's career had caused some marital tension. He was unhappy at his desk job and interested in another foreign posting, but his wife, Annette, was reluctant. She had begun to study art at the University of Maryland despite Bishop's desire for her to remain a stay-at-home mom. Most sources agree that the Bishops were experiencing some financial issues, but there had been disagreement as to their severity. The Post reported in 1986 that the issues were mild and familiar to most upwardly mobile families. John E. Douglas described them as nothing terribly unusual for people in their 30s living in that kind of neighborhood. In 2013, Bethesda Magazine reported that the Internal Revenue Service had been auditing the family's taxes due to financial troubles. The existence of an audit has not been confirmed by the IRS or the FBI. The FBI states that Bishop is an avid outdoorsman who enjoys camping and hiking and reports that he had a pilot's license from when he was stationed in Africa. He also enjoys riding motorcycles and working out every week. Bishop has a history of depression and insomnia, having been afflicted with both conditions and taking Cerax in the time leading up to the murders. He's fond of dogs. He enjoys scotch, peanuts, and spicy foods. Bishop has a 6-inch vertical scar on his lower back from surgery, a cleft chin, and facial mole on his left cheek. He may have had his father's Smith & Wesson M&P 38 special revolver with the serial number C981967 in his Yale class ring with him when he vanished. He's also believed to have taken his diplomatic passport with him, as the family's diplomatic passports were all found at their home, but his was missing. Bishop has had approximately 1 week of advance time before the authorities began looking for him. It's been suggested that he could have traveled on his diplomatic passport. The FBI special agent in charge, Steve Voigt, stated in 2014 that neither Bishop's wallet nor passport have ever been found. It's also been speculated that Bishop may have had intelligence training in the 1960s, which may have helped him evade detection in 1976. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.